Doug Cartwright, portfolio manager for the Buffalo Early Stage Growth Fund, is here. And we're talking stocks now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening on the market broadly, and how they're putting it all together. Returning to the Market Call today is Doug Cartwright. He's portfolio manager for Buffalo Early Stage Growth. It's ticker symbol BUFOX. But the last time he was on the show was the same ticker symbol, but it was then known as the Buffalo Emerging Opportunities Fund. We'll talk a little bit about the name change and if it's affected his process. But if you want to learn more about Doug and the funds, just not just the one that he's running, but all of the Buffalo funds, go to buffalofunds.com. Doug Cartwright, thanks for coming back to Money Life.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we always start with methodology, and we need to cover your methodology, but maybe we need to go first on early stage growth. We need that definition and why it is more important to be identified that way than it was to be emerging opportunities.
Sure. So we've always been a small cap growth manager. So we look at about, you know, call it 100 or 200 million in market cap up to maybe 3 or 4 billion in market cap for when we want to enter a position. That would put us at the smaller end of small cap growth. And honestly, just the emerging opportunities name often led people to believe it was emerging markets fund. So we decided to clear it up and come up with a name that better represented what the fund was.
But does that also impact, I'll kind of start backwards with your methodology, does it impact your sell discipline? Because if you've got early stage growth, at some point it becomes late stage growth. If late stage means, hey, we're slowing and we're not as fast, then it makes sense to get rid of it. But if early stage is just about time, like how long does early last with the company?
So we define early stage as having a new product or a new service or a new way of going to market or a new way of doing things. And, you know, not much has changed in terms of sell discipline or when we exit a position. We're still going to trend on the smaller end of small cap. And we're going to fish in those, you know, call it a couple hundred million to a few billion buckets. And we're probably going to try and be out by 6 or 7 billion. We're always going to decide to sell when it makes the most sense. So when if we're already at 6 or 7 billion and we still see fundamental growth and fundamental opportunity in the stock, we'll probably hold it a little bit longer. But, you know, generally, we're trying to buy when these companies are smaller and be out by the time they are solidly into the small and maybe even trending towards mid cap.
Right. So the early and late is not about time. It's about cap size.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That said, what are the characteristics beyond cap size that you're looking for? I mean, you've described the kind of business, but does it have to have a certain level of growth or avoid a certain level of debt? What makes you say this is the early stage opportunity that I want, and here's the early stage company that I'm willing to wait for later stages on?
So again, we'll talk about companies that have a new product or a new service or something about them that has changed their growth trajectory or created growth trajectory. And then we tend to look at companies that are disruptive, either because they have a superior product or a better way of doing things or a better way of going to market. We are bottom up in nature. So our idea creation comes more from fundamental analysis, look for specific business drivers and opportunities more than larger macroeconomic trends. And we take a longer term view. So we tend to hold names for 3 to 5 years or intend to hold them for 3 to 5 years at the time of purchase. And we can ride out some short term noise or volatility. We would define quality as companies that have a solid balance sheet, good margin profile, and a defensible competitive moat that are either profitable or on a short path to profitability.
Given current market conditions and where we've got a market that's gotten back to all-time highs and where it has lifted, the rising tide has lifted a lot of boats, how easy or hard is it right now for you to find good opportunities?
It's challenging. interestingly enough, while the S&P 500 is hitting all-time highs on a near-daily basis, the small-cap growth index is actually down about 14% since February. So there's a little bit of disparity between smaller end of market caps and the largest companies that are out there. You know, we're always going to be very focused about the risk management of positions. So the first thing, as far as that goes, is making sure that we enter at the right time. So you're correct in that this is not the easiest market to find new ideas in, but we do find some opportunities in, and we're finding a lot of disparity within the index. So while the index itself might be up several percent for this year, we have individual names that we find individual names that are down 30% and individual names that are up 30%. So there's a lot of disparity. And when you're talking about small cap growth, you're looking at 1,100 or so constituents in the Russell 2000 growth, and then several hundred other companies that aren't represented in the index.
What's a poster child for the methodology? What's an opportunity that stands out to you right now?
From a sector perspective, we own a little bit more consumer these days than we typically have. It's not necessarily that we are bullish on or have great confidence in the consumer sector as a whole, but we found more individual opportunities, just like I was referencing before. One of those that we certainly like a lot is Overstock.com. And most people are familiar with Overstock.com. Their legacy sort of was as a clearance e-commerce retailer. Over the last couple of years, it's undergone a turnaround by new CEO Jonathan Johnson. And so that's not what it is today. Today, it's a low-price home goods e-commerce retailer, has a lot of SKU and product overlap with Wayfair. Basically utilizes the same shipping methodology, which is you order something, it gets drop shipped directly from the manufacturer, and it gets delivered to most people in the U.S. within two business days for free. In fact, Overstock.com has gained market share against Wayfair for six consecutive quarters, and despite this, it only trades at about 40% of the valuation of Wayfair on an EV to sales or an EV to EBITDA basis. On top of that, we think numbers are probably too low as the expectations for Wayfair, which has, again, been losing share to Overstock for six quarters, is supposed to grow 20% next year and beyond, and Overstock expectations are closer to 10%. So this share gain that Overstock's been experiencing, for some reason, the market thinks it's going to reverse in the coming quarters. Beyond that, Overstock also won a U.S. government pilot program along with Amazon and Thermo Fisher Scientific. And this is for office supplies and furniture purchases of up to $10,000. Generally, the government spends about $6 billion annually on these things. And if Overstock were to get even a fraction of this, you know, that'd be a huge positive add to the revenue base. Because we're still coming back from pandemic and not all government workers are in the office, and because we don't know exactly how much of this Overstock might capture, none of it's in analyst numbers. And, you know, between those two things, we think the e-commerce business alone is worth twice the current stock price. Outside of e-commerce, this company has actually made investments over the years in several different blockchain technologies. One of those is a blockchain exchange called T0 that they own 80% of. And you can transact securities, including cryptocurrency, NFTs, and other tokenized securities like some equities, with zero-day settlement. This exchange is SEC compliant, so to the extent that SEC begins to get involved in these markets, that should be a beneficiary for T0. And if you look at the valuations for public and private blockchain exchanges like Coinbase, Kraken, blockchain.com, we think that T0 could be worth significantly more than is represented in the Overstock.com share price today. In fact, T0 at the beginning of 2020, they raised a small amount of money that put T0 at a $1.5 billion valuation. And so we think there could be significant upside related to T0 specifically.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Come on, let's go, Schlepprock.
Well, we are going today into Quick and Dirty with Doug Cartwright, He is the portfolio manager for the Buffalo Early Stage Growth Fund. It is ticker symbol BUFOX. Learn more at buffalofunds.com. Now, Quick and Dirty is where we put our guests to your test. And if you want to test our guests yourself, you need to send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at moneylifeshow.com. We'll add them to our list and hope that they make it into an interview soon. We start today with a request we got from Nick in Darien, Illinois, who wants to know about Accel Entertainment. That's A-C-E-L.
So we think hold. We own this, actually. It trades about 8 times EBITDA a day. It's a slot machine play in convenience stores and in restaurants in Illinois. It's a best-in-category operator in a fast-growing market. They're also trying to enter new markets through acquisition or trying to get licensed. And, you know, maybe the risk is that COVID shuts business down temporarily, but we think for the long term, there's a lot of appetite for playing slot machines.
You called it a hold, but it's in your portfolio. Would you be adding to it now?
We add to it now and again, and now is a pretty good time to add to it, I think. 8 times EBITDA, it's gone down a little bit given recent COVID scares. You know, we tend to think that COVID, however long it lasts, is somewhat of a transitory item and that we'll move past it at some point and people will learn to deal with it. And so we think that creates a big opportunity going forward.
Accel Entertainment, A-C-E-L, that was a buy. A different kind of gambling company. Mike in Redwood City, California wants to know about DraftKings, D-K-N-G.
Yeah, so we actually think we'd sell DraftKings, which is about 15 times revenue today, and we'd buy a company called Rush Street Interactive. It's a tangential market. So DraftKings is pretty much an online sports betting company. Rush Street Interactive is more online slots and table games, that they do have some online sports gambling as well. It trades about 4.5 times revenue. Generally, the market leader in the markets they're in, continue to get more markets licensed. So we'd rather own RSI.
So it is a sell on DraftKings, D-K-N-G,
tell them to sell!
But instead a buy on RSI, Rush Street Interactive.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
Our last three requests today are all from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first, Community Healthcare Trust, CHCT.
Yeah, again, we own this, so we're a buyer. And this is a REIT that's doing deals at 9 and 10% cap rates. I don't think you can find those anywhere in real estate these days. COVID has no real impact on their business as their tenants are healthcare, and the pipeline is very strong.
And that's why CHCT, Community Healthcare Trust, was a buy. Richard's next request, Trupanion, T-R-U-P.
Yeah, so Trupanion's a fold for me. You know, there's been a pet boom as a result of the pandemic. How do we lap that growth in 2022 and beyond? There's also a lot of faith in Trupanion's ability to underwrite, but given limited historical data, they're starting to run into some underwriting issues that are weighing on margins. Company's still not profitable. I didn't get it when it was 2x sales. Now it's 5x sales.
And now for the profit taking.
That is a sell. Take your profits if you've got them on owning Trupanion, T-R-U-P. And last, LendingTree, ticker tree.
So we're a hold on this. In a low interest rate environment, there's lots of willing borrowers and there's few willing lenders. So lenders don't really need to spend a lot of money marketing on platforms like LendingTree to generate new loans. So there's two different possibilities for interest rates here, right? One is we get higher interest rates and that will flip the supply and demand balance, which would be a big benefit to LendingTree going forward. The other is the interest rates stay low and we're in the status quo environment. It's benign enough that LendingTree should be able to grow.
It is a hold, a true hold.
No money changes hands today.
A wait and see proposition on LendingTree, ticker symbol tree. And sadly, we can't hold on to Doug Cartwright for any more time, but Doug, always great to chat with you. Come back and do this again down the line because this was fun.
I will. Thanks for having me.
That's Doug Cartwright. And again, the fund, which used to be Buffalo Emerging Opportunities, is Buffalo Early Stage Growth. It is ticker symbol BUFOX. You can learn more about the firm and the fund at buffalofunds.com. And as long as you're doing that, follow them on Twitter, where they're at Buffalo Funds. The finish line is in sight. Let's cross it together right after this message.